January the 28th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Norad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Muhammad is the imam, leader of other prophets. Prophethood progressed and evolved to Muhammad. I don't think I miss any, and he greeted each of them as brother except for Adam and Abraham. He greeted them father. So this is Judaism. This is in Judaism and in Christianity. So we know the first father is Adam, and the second father is Abraham. After greeting them, what did he do? He led them in prayer. So who is their imam? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is their imam, their leader. What is that to tell us? That even prophethood is an evolving thing. Prophethood is a progressional thing itself. God was evolving and progressing prophethood and revelation so it becomes complete for all the needs of mankind. And who was the last in that? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So who should be the leader of the rest? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. If God sent messengers one behind the other to make contributions to advancing his way, to contribute to the advancement or towards the advancement of his way, then the last one to finish the job, he is the one that has it all. Those before him only had part. So darkness symbolic of ignorance. So Quran Surah 14, Ayat 1, we have revealed, bring from darkness to light. The darkness is the darkness of ignorance. You don't need anybody to lead you out of the darkness of night. All animals know how to wake up when day comes and go out and take advantage of the daytime. It's talking about the darkness of ignorance. So when you don't know the answer, you can't see your way. So when you don't know the solution, you can't see your way to work the problem. You don't know how to do it. You can't see how to do it. And you will say that. We use that expression. We are talking about knowledge, not this physical light and darkness. We are talking about the light and darkness of knowledge. We say, I can't see that. I don't see it that way. These are expressions of the language that witness these expressions or witnesses that we already have the terms light and darkness, or darkness and light, for knowledge, not just for physical environment. The Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 15, seek word dominance is denied. God says, for them, I say to you, God says in our holy book, he will never give the rule, that is the power over others, over nations, to anyone who seeks corruption or seek a dominant. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 27. When I breathe into him my spirit, bow to him. Genesis 2:7, breathed into man, he became a nostril, living soul. So word is a god. The world is called a god, and the world is held under a deep sleep and began to have desires. It felt lonely, and it needed or wanted something. So the book says in the Genesis that it is not good that the man should be alone. This means that it is not good that the early Christian community should be lonely and suffering like it was. What God is this speaking? This is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the creator of the church. Pardon me. Adam himself. And he was already dead divinely. The breath of life was not as the Bible Genesis would make you think. The breath of divine origin, this breath, was the breath of a grafted world order. It was the birth breath of something false and contrary to divine. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 12, Iblis made of fire men of mud. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 27, Jinn made before from scorching wind. The Holy Quran says that the being of fire or the jinn were made before. This is before the man was made to be the crown of the creation. The scientists of the world think that they have made themselves, but they are blind children using our tools. The jinn boast that God made him before he made man. The jinn say that they were before Muhammad and that they will not submit to him. They say that they came up the hard way and they got their knowledge by their own effort. They say that they are not men of the spirit of divine man. They say they are men of knowledge. They say they don't submit to righteous teachings and that no religious leader will tell them what to do. Fire means knowledge of the world. So fire means a body of knowledge that is of the world. Man, like, look to it and be near it because it gives him warmth. They use it to cook their food and to do things for themselves. They use it to light their world so they can see. We don't call electric bulbs fire, but they're fire too. If you don't believe it, go and put your hand on one of them and you will see hot it is also fire. So the light of the world is also fire. The scientists have built their body of knowledge. They say that their knowledge is the light of the world and had it before this Muhammad came on the scene. They ask how they are going to submit to a religious man. They say that he preaches well and he might be sincere, but he doesn't have that much sense. We are scientists. God says that nevertheless. He knows something that you don't know. I know that you know not. So the Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 12, Iblis made of fire, made man of mud. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 27, Jinn made before from scorching wind. God says in the beginning that he was going to make a ruler in the earth. He didn't say he made his man to live under other people. I'm talking about God's man now, not the one that conquered God's man and made a grafted man. God said that he was going to make a man from the dust of the earth, from the lowest of the people. And when he had breathed into him of his spirit, divine mind, that sentence of the world, we were the wise and the stiff-necked and proud ones who think they know it all and have been casting their wits against his revealed knowledge. All must drop their books and bow down to his man. All praises is due to Allah. According to the Holy Quran, when the wise scientists were ordered to submit to God, man that he himself had made with his own mind, one amongst them said, he refused. He wouldn't bow down to that which God had made from black mud, fashioned into shape. He wouldn't submit to bow to God's man because he said that God had made him of fire and not mud. The Holy Quran says that the being of fire or the jinn were made before. That is before the man was made to be the crown of the creation. The scientists of the world think that they have made themselves, but they are blind children using our tools. The jinn boast that God made him before he made man. The jinn say that they were before Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and that they will not submit to him. They say that they came up the hard way, and they got their knowledge by their own efforts. They say that they are not men of the spirit of divine man. They say they are men of knowledge. They say they don't submit to religious teachings, and that is no religious leader will tell them what to do. Fire means knowledge of the world. So fire means a body of knowledge that is of the world. Man, like, look at it and it bears it, because it gives them warmth. They use it to cook their food and to do things for themselves. They use it to light their world so they can see. We don't call electric bulbs fire, but they are fire too. If you don't believe it, go and put your hand on one of them, and you will see hot it is also fire. So the light of the world is also fire. The scientists have built their body of knowledge. They say that their knowledge is the light of the world. And had it before this Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, came on the scene. They ask, how are they going to submit to a religious man? They say that he preaches well and he might be sincere, but he doesn't have that much sense. We are scientists. God says, nevertheless, he knows something that you don't know. I know that you know not. So Adam tell them their names. After he had made his man and breathed his mind into his head, he told them to tell them, the proud, rebellious scientists, their names. That means to identify so he can see himself. Since God, man, has God's wisdom, he can now direct it to this rebellious scientist and tell him how he came into being and tell him what he has done to the world. God says to shine the light into their light or his light. Put out their scientist's light with the bright light of divine and destroy them with light. So the Quran, Surah 16, Ayah 3, Allah created earth for just end. No matter what man does to make the world not just, bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already made the creation so that the creation itself is going to force man to come closer and closer to justice until there is a just world, a world of justice, of right doings on the part of the rulers or government, etc. Mainly referring to government, people with power, not the ordinary person. The ordinary person, the common person, is not responsible for the world not being just. It is the obligation of those who are in power to make the world right. The only thing we do is complain and put our pressure on them, and in many places get killed for doing it. Or we are blessed to have a system of justice like the United States. This democracy system, a democratic system, pardon me, and we carry our problems to the system, the judge, etc. Sometimes you don't have to carry it any further than our alderman. Sometimes the preacher is enough. Just tell the preacher. The preacher works it out, finds a way to solve the problem. So what is this saying is from Quran, really. Justice has been put into God's creation. Justice is in the earth, in the sky, and in the way the solar system works. Everything works for justice. And justice is in our nature. And when we go against it, we're just going against our own good nature. Justice is in everything, and God's justice is working. If it wasn't for man being created to utilize or make good use of the creation, what in the ground and what in the sky and everywhere, justice wouldn't come this fast. Justice would be very slow coming. But because God has made the world that the way it is, and made our brains and our hearts the way they are, justice comes fast, and justice is going to keep coming. The bigger the world gets, the more man utilizes the forces of nature and the created things that are in the earth and sky, the fast justice will come. So justice is promoted by material dominance. The Quran, Surah 16, Ayah 3, heaven, earth created for just sin. Just as God says in our holy book that he created this world, this big material universe, to promote justice. So we believe that natural phenomena, that the nature of the material dominance is promoting justice. And the more man engages the material world to bring out its sciences, to utilize the benefit of God's creation for his own society, and more justice is going to be in demand. So if you study history, you will see justice is more in demand now than ever before, because man has progressed with the material world. He has made great progress using the material world and the material things that God made. So there is no peace until there is justice. We believe that God gave us a picture of this great universe. And he said its beginning was not in a quiet, but in noise, confusion, explosion, and chorus. And this is one of the names for the universe. It says the universe was in violent commotion. In one of the translations of the Quran, it said it was disturbed, smoke, as another description. God caused order to come into the chorus. When order came into that chorus and everything received its attention, bodies were given their freedom to have their orbit and to have their place in the beautiful picture of the universe. Everything got its respect and was given its freedom to be in the whole picture and to have its existence and its function in the whole picture. Then we had order. Then the heavens were at peace. God gave us that to show us what must happen on this earth. When we can respect our sister nations as we respect ourselves, when we can give them the same freedom to have their own orbit and not impose their ideology on them, etc. And that as long as they support the order and the peace of for all mankind, we should tolerate their differences, even their differences in ideology. That is what I believe justice is. Justice is having that kind of thought, that kind of mind, and accepting that everything God created for dignity can have its dignity and its life. I would not want to see the United States impose their ideology on others. The Quran Surah 17, Ayah 1, Prophet Night Journey. Bukhari, page 1, 345, page 4, 429, page 5, 227, Prophet 7, Heaven. St. John 3:13, no one was in heaven but he that came down from heaven. So God bless you to struggle for knowledge of him. With understanding, he will lift your moral body up from low-mindedness, mental body up from darkness, ignorance, spiritual body up from filth, corruption, pettiness, self-righteousness. God lifts the inner body up and separates you from the low world that you were once a helpless victim in. Going up in this vertical line is the cross. The stock of the cross is going from Mecca to Jerusalem. Is this horizontal line? It is the balance. Balance or agreement has to be established between Prophet Muhammad and Jesus. Prophet Abraham's sacrifice wasn't material money. It was charity of knowledge. He destroyed secrecy and religion and gave the knowledge free to everybody. Prophet Muhammad carried that principle higher. He made tax an obligation on the society for the sake of the poor and the needy. Prophet Muhammad was lifted above. The cross is a sign of a personal knowledge, the capacity of his knowledge. Revelation is going up. It's graduation. It knows lodge that takes us up. Then service to society goes out. First, you get the knowledge. It brings you up to different levels that enable you to serve the society. So this bar here is service to the society. The message is what serves the society. So this line has vertical means. Knowledge, as the knowledge goes up, the level of the message goes up, the level of understanding that's given to the society is raised. Barak, flying horse, represents the natural inspiration that comes to us through nature. Natural motivation without intelligence, blind natural motivation, natural urge. Horses refer to motivation, urge that arises from nature from intelligent observation. Horse of a different color shows us how the natural or the natural is broken down or corrupted. The Quran Surah 17, Ayat 1, Night Journey. Bukhari, Volume 1, page 345. Prophet 7 Heavens represent human growth patterns that is vertical and horizontal. Vertical man must move upward. Morally, must find a relationship between himself and something else that enables him to rise his level. Must have perpendicular growth to grow in value. Horizontal, the person has to accept high when he does this. We will have one human. Or one economy, pardon me, that has a currency called zakat or charity. It enables for us an economic order that gives us heaven or society, complete world that's lifted above the ground, world in human principle. Yet begin from the individual connecting himself with his creator and moving horizontally. And vertically. So this is what the cross meant. It was a sign of the universe, life creation. Jesus did not give man of understanding, but parables, faith. The Quran, Surah 17, Ayat 1, Prophet Ascension. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayat 2, created 7 and 5, your singular, you singular. Matthew 10:38, Jesus takes his cross. John 16:17, Jesus expedient, I go away. John 16:17, Jesus, you not see me, yet again see me. John 16:25, Jesus, I speak to you in Proverbs. Mark 13:11, Jesus said, think not what you will say. So we need check, and God has given us a check. It is a check in our own nature. And Jesus said, if you take up my cross, he spoke of a cross, and he called it his cross, the cross of righteousness, the cross of moral obedience. That is what checks your behavior, righteousness. So we think of Jesus as a man of understanding. But remember, dear people, when Jesus was preaching and living, he was not a symbol of understanding. He told his ministers, who he selected, he said, think not of what you will say at the destination. Prepare a lecture. Prepare no speech. Trust God. And when you get there, God will put the word in you, in your mouth, by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Is that not the Christian teaching? So Jesus did not represent understanding. If he represented understanding, he represented moral understanding. The moral understanding to obey your superiors, who is God. But as far as rational understanding, as far as cultural understanding, Jesus did not represent that. No, he said, I speak to you in Proverbs. But they said, oh, one will come after me who will lead you into all truth. And he said, I is and must that I go away. He said, but nevertheless, he will send you one. The Father will send you one, another comforter. Isn't that what he said? He said, I will go away and you will see me no more. He said, again, you shall see me. How shall you see me? You shall see me through the eyes of the coming on. When he comes, he shall reveal all things, even me. So this is double talk, isn't it? But it is true if you understand. He said, I go away and you see me no more. And then again, you shall see me. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that I pass away. I go the way of the prophets. But God is going to send another one because I represent a stage and a process. And it's expedient that the stage goes away so the next stage can come to you. And when the next stage comes to you, then you will see me. This is scripture. This is the Bible, the Old Testament. And there are many explanations for that on different levels. But let us understand it on the moral level, because that is the first level, the most important of them all. If you are morally right and you hold unto your moral integrity, God will eventually bring understanding to your mind. But if you give up the moral integrity, don't expect any rational understanding. Jesus is a type, a sign in every man and woman. So this is what required in the religion of God. You can't understand his religion with an immoral mind. You have to understand his religion with a moral mind, mind and nature. And Jesus came to quicken that light, that moral life in the people, by and bring to people back to moral responsibility. He said, if you hold on to that, said, I go away, but nevertheless, I'm with you always. Isn't that what he said? Why? Because he was just a man, an individual, as a sign, representing the type of man that is in every man and woman. The mortal life, God has given it to every individual. So if you hold on to that, that Jesus is with you. Not Jesus born of Mary, but Jesus that was born your Mary. Mary was a natural woman, wasn't she? She had a mother and a father. She was a natural in every respect. But she was obedient to obedience, that she did not give herself to any sin, strictly obeying the discipline of her religion. That is Mary. Jesus was born of that Mary. Now I say to you that Jesus was the type of what is in all of us. Where do we have the proof? From our religion. Prophet Muhammad, seven heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and above you are seven tracks. And also within you seven tracks. And Prophet Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, said, in his ascension shows us what that is. We find that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in his ascension, he was taken to the realm or to the plane of Adam. And there he was taken out from the plane of Adam to the plane of Jesus Christ. And from there he was taken from the plane of Jesus Christ to the plane of Joseph. And from there to the plane of Ezekiel. Some of them say he is Idris. And from there are to the plane of Aaron, the prophet. And from there to the sixth plane, that is of the plane of Moses, the prophet. And then up to the seventh plane, the plane of Abraham, Ibrahim, and the prophet. This is in the ascension of Prophet Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon him. Now, so it is seven within, and you seven without. So Jesus said, I in you, and you in me. Isn't that what Jesus said? I know they say that, the church, that Jesus was giving them a picture of the church, that the church represented the body of Christ, and all of the members of the church are in his body. That is the first level information. That is preschool knowledge. I'm not making fun of anybody. That is preschool knowledge. Seven heavens means possibility for human excellence. So if we understand that, then we see that our religion and what Jesus said is compatible. Jesus said, I in you and you in me. And our religion says Jesus represents one of seven planes above us, but also the same seven planes are within us. It means possibility for the human excellence. Seven major planes of possibility for the human excellence. And one of them is the application of all of that excellence. So in the world, so the Quran, Surah 18, Ayah 6, would you grieve self to death? That's not saying that he himself as an object, because a prophet is a person too. He's not an angel, not a spook as an object. He was complete too. But he could say it. He couldn't tell you. He couldn't preach it. Why? He couldn't preach it. Because the mind of the individual wasn't yet ready for it. Not only the mind of the individual, but Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon his mind, as an Arab wasn't ready for it. Prophet's mind as a prophet was ready, but Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon his mind, as an Arab was not ready. Now, I know I will shake some minds by saying these things. Let me explain. Let me explain. If his mind as an Arab was ready, God would have given it to his people at that time. But God doesn't just pick man for the time. God picks man for the future. And the prophet is a man that's picked not only for the time, but for the future. Do you understand? All right. So Prophet Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, was a prophet. He was picked not only for the time, but for the future. So his mind, as an Arab mind, was a part of the society. It was just the best mind in the society, the innocent, true, upright mind of the society. And that mind received revelation. And he, as a prophet, as an individual, had to submit and swoon and be perplexed at times because of revelation. Prophet message was beyond ethnic mind limitation. So many times he was worried. Doesn't the Holy Quran tell you that he was worried? That shows you that the message was beyond his mind. The message was universal, a message for all time. He himself, as a moral person, as a spiritual and moral body, was complete and fit for the message. But as a worldly man, as a man who gained and got his knowledge and his mind from the society as an Arab, no, I don't know if you understand me, but I'm just telling you some truth. Well, what about our mind? My mind is of a new time. My mind is the mind that is almost 1,400 years. God, through his natural workings, has brought the mind of the world to position where the mind is ready now to not only be doors, prophets acting to form the object, but the mind is ready to come into the form and be the object. See? But he did have the knowledge. And he knew that in these signs is knowledge for eternity. And he knew that is that in time, these signs are going to be understood. And that no matter how long man exists on earth, he knew that he had pointed the way for their salvation and for their advancement, for their progress. I would not be surprised if the expression shoe fly always or shoe fly away came out of our people who came from Islamic past and knew that language and had that wisdom, could have survived in them. They could say it subsequently and not even know what they were saying. The soul has not lost that. Your mind lost, your conscious lost. It, but your soul didn't. So it comes up as an expression, and you do not have know where it is from. A kind of belief that she came from them, or either wise people said it around us, and we picked it up. So this is strong possibilities also. So I think he was a group of people, and they were holy people dressed in garments all white. And Moses saw them, and he was attracted to go to them. And when he went to them, his own nature told him, these are special people, and I should get rid of this base that I have. Shu is on the base. I should get rid of this spiritual base that I have from Egypt when I was in Egypt. Because obviously Moses was learned. He was in the house of Pharaoh. And he knew that Egyptians had the god Su. So right, he had to dismiss or take off the spirit that he got in Egypt. And with these people, he was going to get another spirit, but it means that if you disposition yourself incorrectly, you cannot go up God's mountain of logic, because that was God's knowledge. That was not a philosopher's knowledge. That mountain was God's mountain. So you cannot ascend God's mountain of logic for the leader until you first prove yourself independent of the spirit that the world gave you. So that is what he had to do, and had such confidence in those people that he met her, the righteousness. He saw light that just caused him right away to question himself, to question what he was standing upon. So reduce their borders. Water is symbolic of the soul. It's a resolver. Wind is symbolic of the spirit. So you know, water comes against the bank and it takes some of the bank away, right? So that is where the idea started. It means that the nature, water is symbolic of the sentiment of the people, their sentimentality, their superiority, their soul, when it is still and at peace. That is the nature of the soul. But what is, but when it is disturbed, it is symbolic of the trouble in the people. So Jesus Christ and the Bible, I go to what is available quick. It is in the Quran, but we are familiar with the Bible. In the Bible, the water was being disturbed, and the boats were being disturbed. And he and Jesus said, the trouble is in the wind. Rebuck the wind. There's nothing wrong with the water. The wind is affecting it. This is the spirit. Water is symbolic of the sensitive nature of man. He has a sensitive nature, and his soul is a reservoir. But like a plant, the water goes into all the branches everywhere. So his whole life is a sensitive life. But once he gets fixed up there, up here, it can make him dumb to all sensitivity, right? So we have to know what we got to eliminate darkness and mysteries. That is what you are going up for, to get away from darkness and mystery. The mountain going up is symbolic to going to find light in the dark world. Christ, what did he say? He said the light of this world is darkness. So we are in the dark. And when night falls and everybody is in the dark, if the clouds are not up there, there are lots of light. The Arab said, as a thousand eyes. So Jubal Nura, the mountain of enlightenment. So going ascending up the mountain, that Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, went up, they called it Mount Hira. That was in the old pagan time. It means mountain of a cat. I guess nothing but my cat went up there. Hira means cat, but it also, from Greek, after Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, went up there, it is not called Mount Hira anymore. And we should never call it by that name, because that is what the enemies of Al-Islam called it. They went to keep it like it was in pagan time, that he went up Mount Hira. But once he received guidance from God, which was light for us down here, it is called Jubal Nura, the mountain of enlightenment. And that is why we went up there, to call on a higher authority and hope that he would be enlightened and could come back down and guide his people to success. His people were all people. He never thought now. He was always thinking and making of mankind or humanity, not the particular people, his people as a nation. So this is important that we know this. He put down as a nation. He did not have admiration for his people as Arabs, although they once had a great civilization and great social leaders at one time. in their lives. So this is all about the Arab history. But their tendency was to rebel against the best leadership, just like the Jews selfishly take for themselves what they want from the past and pride themselves in it, but not unified, not have any desire to become unified. So they existed as tribes, threatening others, claiming no rights and stuff. That was the Arab people. In time of Prophet Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him, you had to pay a toll. Actually, paid the chief to cross his territory. If you wanted to go to Syria or somewhere and came across his territory, you had to pay a toll. I believe it because you think of how it costs just within the state to go from place to place. They have it set up so they can get so much money. And then look at the next state. It is doing the same thing. That is a lot of money. Every vehicle, as population increases, their money increases. So Juba Nur, Mount Sinai, of the same enlightenment, real mountain is the mountain in your thinking. Pardon me. So Juba Nur is the mountain of enlightenment. It is not called Mount Sinai, but it is the same. So the idea is the same, that Moses had to go up in the mountain and get the light from God, can bring it down to the people. But when he got it in the form of commandment that had to be applied on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just does not give his revelation, because if he just wanted to give revelation, he could just give revelation to all of us. He could reach all of us, but he gives revelation and then he qualifies the person to apply it, to apply the light when he goes back amongst the people. So the same thing happened for Moses, happened for Muhammad, peace be upon the prophet. But you know, Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him first, I would say, encountered because he did not know God. He was just seeking answers. He felt that there was higher authority to give him those answers. Just nature was moving him to do what he did. He did not read Bible of any scripture. So Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, had one encounter on the mountain, and to my knowledge, he never had another one on the mountain. So what does that tell us? That really the mountain is not necessarily not physical mountain. The real mountain is the mountain in your thinking. He went up there one time. That was his nature, sending him way up there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that as if my servant asks about me, tell them I'm near. Why did you leave your people and go way up there on that mountain thinking you were going to get close to me? So Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, did not need anything except the one lesson. He knew that he did not know how to go up there. Sometimes he would be back down on the ground doing business. And all of a sudden, he had to cut off business and listen to his Lord. I think you get more when you are on a low level than you do when you are almost physically higher level. So the Lord knows I have not climbed up any level. I used to like climb trees. I had no desire to even climb a tree. My desire is to put my forehead and nose on the ground in sajda. Yes. It was on Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And another one was Maulana Maudoodi, book on Maulana Maudoodi. on the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Maulana is a title. My inspiration came from a great big variety, but not just that. It came mainly from my study of scripture and mythology, not just Quran, but Quran, Bible, mythology, and to the spiritual thinkers on the search for truth or meaning. So that is what I was searching for. So I found a book that was on the search for meaning. And I read that book, and I really liked it a lot. It kind of centered around the Bible. In the beginning, there was the Word, but they did not use Bible. They just went right to the subject without making any reference to where they were coming from. Logos, that was the name of the book. And the word logos is related to logic and language, the Bible. In the beginning, there was the Word. It was just a lot of books, but mainly mythology. I started with Asian mythology because I knew Mr. Farad was from Asia. But it also got, I also got African mythology. My mind got interested, so I just started reading mythology. Greek mythology, of course, world mythology, but mainly Asian and the Mediterranean area. A little bit of Africa, not too much, into Africa. I went into Africa for other reasons, but when I was searching for understanding Mr. Farad's language and to understand Bible myths, I went to these areas, Asia and the Mediterranean, mostly. The Greeks in the Mediterranean area to understand the logic, but ancient Egypt was very attractive. I went into that much later. I was like maybe 25 years later or more than I was attracted to go very recently in my life. In fact, in my leadership, that I was attracted to go to Egypt to study Egyptian mythology. And do you know what check in the Bible? Mary was told to flee to Egypt with your child. That started it. I said, flee to Egypt with your child. They copied the Egyptian pharaoh's strategy of governing the masses of the people. His scheme for governing the masses of the people, that is what came by my mind almost immediately, because I remembered reading in a book too, coming to Cairo, you couldn't get into it until you answered the question of the oculist. And the oculist would ask you what walks on four, then on two, and then on one. And if you answered correctly, man, you could come in. Three is spiritual purpose, Joseph Youssef. So that attracted me. And by the way, you can see one, two, three. It came up so often. So it is spiritual logic there. But it is also purpose for your evolving or your ascending. Abraham is all the way up of the seventh layer, seventh strategy. But three is not all the way up there. Three is where Joseph, Yusuf is, isn't it? And she, Mary, was engaged to Joseph, wasn't she? But she could not reach Joseph directly, could she? So third represents what God had created us to arrive at as a purpose. And the purpose here, or the purpose he wants us to arrive at, is spiritual purpose. So what is the purpose for your soul, your spiritual body? Not just your flesh. If that is all you want, then eat with the cows and other animals. But if you want the divine purpose, then it is a purpose for your own soul. And it is a spiritual destiny. It cannot be just a material destiny. And that means that you have arrived at your purpose. So you go from mortal life to mental life, to purpose for that. So what is the purpose for this mortal body? What is the purpose for this mind? We find that then you are with Joseph. God blessed Joseph to be put over the storehouses, didn't he? So he was born with a strong psyche, then put him in jail, and he told people what their dreams meant. He was so impressive, the king said, bring that man up here. That sounds like the guy I want to solve my problem. No, it's just like the average fellow of mine. They do not have anything important. Their minds, so they can witness something important. And then it will be overlooked, just like it was not important. That is the way it is. And that is in the Quran, over and over again, isn't it? They forgot me, so I forgot them. Dhikr is the natural thinking human being, the reflecting mind, progressive society. So when you remember, see, the mind that can reflect is the mind that accounts for real progress for any human society. The mind that can think and then reflect, and the natural human being in the Quran is not called by any other name except dhikr, and it means to be conscious and then reflect on what appears to your consciousness. What appears to your mind, not to ignore it, but look at it again. So you see and look at it again. Cow chewing the cud is symbolic of thinking, who reflects over what it previously thought about. Yes, so this is chewing the cud, because the cow will chew, and then after he has eaten it, still chewing, it is bringing it back up to chew it again. For complete and thorough digestion. So this is the way it is with the brain of those who are blessed to be true thinkers. They do not just have something in their mind's eye and take it for granted. There are things in their mind's eye that require them to look into it. So they think and they think and think again. That is exactly what it means. Isn't that going up that mountain and coming back down? So exactly, he might have gone up to the first level. He might have climbed all day and night and did not reach anything but the first level. What he thought he reached, the third level, so he came back down. He tried to apply it, and it has to go back up again. So wither one raka is symbolic of the conclusion for the logic. Yes, only the night, Tawir, as a final wither, a final standing of prayer, one by itself. I do not know if it is a lot of the believers are praying the Tawir, even for the international Muslim world. I do not believe. They understand that actually the last prayer of the Tawil prayer, the last one, is a single rak'ah. You actually conclude saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. For the Eid, it is not for the widow that you pray in the evening. It is not one of the obligatory prayers. But in the Ramadan prayer, the widow you're supposed to conclude the two rak'ahs, and then you stand and do the single widow one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and there is going to be one blast of the trumpet, and they all will stand. So man is evolving to where God wants him to, but there is going to come a time when you will not have to depend on man's evolving. God is going to make things so clear and plain that one standing will be enough. One command, stand, will be enough. and that is a time of conclusion for the logic. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 7, represents the inspiration that comes into the nature. First, it's a spiritual urge that eventually leads us to an encounter with the rational. Jesus said, you will see, yet see me no more, and you will see me again. The urge that was in Jesus did not the intellectual expression come back, and it did in Prophet Muhammad, the original pattern on which Allah designed man needs expression. Needs to be revealed. Jesus is an expression of something already in the original man, Adam. Then does it stop with Jesus? Every man has that in him. Adam, the original man, John the Baptist, Aaron, they are prophets. They must be in me. They are expressions of something that must be in me, my original nature. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. I thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Marad Speaks, for allowing me to come before you once again. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Tomorrow will be our beloved brother Imam Musa Abui, the grandson of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington. He's a teacher and a scholar. So I ask you to listen to him. Listen to this email. He has a lot of knowledge, and he has some books out. So with that, we thank you, our honorable listening audience. We pray to Allah that you have gotten something out of what we said this evening. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.